This week, we've been looking at science under the Trump administration, or as some researchers call it, the silencing of science. They're keeping a tracker with examples. We also heard this week about the USDA moving several offices to Kansas City, resulting in employees quitting what's being called a brain drain. Those stories are at herenow.org. Today, the status of science at the Environmental Protection Agency. You've probably already heard about how the EPA is scrapping protections for waterways, officials saying it's to correct federal overreach. But you may not have heard about how the EPA is also relaxing rules on asbestos, or how it prevented NASA from flying a plane over Houston after Hurricane Harvey to measure air quality, something the EPA disputes. If you haven't heard, you'd be forgiven. There's a lot of news coming out of Washington and a lot of rollbacks at the EPA, most occurring over the objections of the agency's own scientists, some of whom are even Trump appointees. For more, let's bring in Michael Halpern, Deputy Director of the Center for Science and Democracy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Michael, welcome.
It's great to be with you, Robin.
And you know, there's just so much. I mean, you feel as if every day when you know, those of us who still pick up newspapers, there it is on the front page, something being rolled back at the EPA. But just to start, we know that scientists have been sounding an alarm for decades. We remember 1988. You had James Hansen, the former NASA scientist. It was considered the first warning to a mass audience about global warming. He told a U.S. congressional hearing he could declare with 99% confidence that it was human-caused. He was scorned, you know, by the then administration. So this has been going on, but how would you characterize what's happening now? How big is this?
I mean, every administration has a tendency to want to champion the facts that support the policies and to bury the information that doesn't. But what we're seeing now is at a completely different scale. You know, across the board, science has been sidelined from decision-making at EPA with significant consequences for both public health and the environment.
Let's take a look. This is all according to the Union of Concerned Scientists. In 2019, 13 research centers that used to study how chemical exposure affects children defunded, it would seem, because at least one was publishing research on chlorpyrifos. This is the pesticide Dow Chemicals manufactures. The research center said it harms children's brains. In 2017, a new report on the cancer risks of formaldehyde, a common chemical, you know, it's in everything from plywood to glue. That report was suppressed because the EPA claims it's still checking the accuracy. There's been a rollback on asbestos protection or regulation. Last year, the EPA said that manufacturers can now get waivers if they want to use it. It's a known carcinogen. It's in things like wall insulation and bleach and bulletproof vests. And Andrew Wheeler, who's the head of the EPA, said this would strengthen public health. What did the EPA scientists say?
The scientists were unequivocal in saying that this is a dangerous product that needs to be phased out. It's been phased out all across the world, and it needs to happen here too. In this case, as in many cases, the scientists aren't even consulted when the rule is being put forward and when the decision is being made. And they find out about the decision the way the rest of us do, through the news or through an agency announcement. And so what we're seeing is the wholesale sidelining of agency experts from important processes that are supposed to protect public health.
Yeah, well, and, you know, we've expressed here before that it's very alarming to scientists that before Wheeler was appointed head of the EPA, he was a lawyer that lobbied for the coal industry against the Obama administration's environmental regulations. I mean, is there a sense that the fox is in the hen house?
Absolutely. The fox has built the hen house here. You know, there seems to be this idea that they can disregard laws like the Clean Air Act in pursuit of the policies that they want to put forward. But the amount of air pollution that's going to sicken you or kill you doesn't depend on who wins an election or who's filling a seat at the top of the EPA. That's why we need the scientists to be able to tell us what the threats are and respond appropriately.
Yeah. What impact is this having on scientists? Because the Union of Concerned Scientists, you did a survey back in 2018 to find out. What did you hear?
Yeah, so we do surveys periodically of scientists and have done so for about 15 years. And scientists at EPA are worse off than they've ever been. They report significant political interference in their work, the impact of workforce reductions making it hard to do their jobs, and a lot of self-censorship that's happening at all levels on issues like climate change, on issues like chemical safety and security. And that kind of climate in which communication is discouraged makes it a lot more difficult for experts to speak openly with the public about health hazards, whether they're longstanding like lead or emerging problems like various viruses.
But, you know, when you say this is a problem, we understand asbestos. It's hard to imagine we'd reintroduce that in a big way into the culture. But what are you talking about some of the impact being? I mean, are you talking about specific things like breathing?
Yeah. So, you know, the Clean Air Act has been enormously successful because it is grounded in science. And the EPA has to go back and set a new standard every 5 years for different types of pollutants, including one called particulate matter. That's an air pollutant that makes asthma worse. It leads to early death in tens of thousands of people every year. And this is the time when EPA has to go back and look at that. Now, the science is clear. The EPA scientists have said that the current standard does not sufficiently protect public health and needs to be strengthened. Now, the EPA can't win on the science, so they're doing their best to sabotage that scientific process through which those standards are set. So, yes, they did fire a panel of the nation's top particulate matter experts saying that their expertise was no longer needed. And these scientists cared so much that they decided to meet anyway on their own time in a public meeting using the same procedures they would have under official EPA rules, and then submitted their findings to the agency for consideration so that they could set the record straight on what they believe a sufficiently protective standard would be. This has an impact on millions of people, and the standard that is set will, you know, determine whether the air that many of us breathe is sufficiently safe.
Yeah. We know the government in some occasions has responded through spokespeople saying, you know, in different occasions, different things, that rollbacks or cutbacks were because there was fat, there was overlap, or overreach, you know, overreach on the part of the EPA. We talked about the fact that the EPA is now packed with former industry insiders who would see overreach. But what's fascinating, though, is many of these scientists who were cherry-picked by the Trump administration are also objecting to what the EPA is doing. For example, water. Last month, the Trump administration finalized a rule which will undo Obama-era protections for streams and wetlands, and a government advisory board of scientists, many of them Trump appointees, wrote that the proposed water rule neglects established science. I mean, you know, we have Trump's own appointees contradicting his policies. Your thoughts on that?
Well, one of the great things about science-based laws like the Clean Air Act or the Clean Water Act is that the EPA has to show its work. They have to be able to justify their decisions based on scientific information. That's one reason why you've seen a lot of criticism, even from scientists who have been appointed by President Trump. And you've seen the administration lose a lot of lawsuits in court because they can't back up what they are trying to put forward. Now, it's important to note that even if they lose in court, they're still delaying a public protection from moving forward by months or years. And any public protections that are delayed benefits the polluters at the expense of the public. You know, only doing nothing in the face of evidence that a pollutant is harmful means that more people are going to get sick and more people are going to die, but also that the manufacturers of an unsafe product or practice will have months or years of additional profits.
We mentioned Houston during Hurricane Harvey. There were chemical spills, fires. ExxonMobil, Chevron, Valero all had breaches. Residents were, you know, calling the hotline because of gas smells. Superfund sites leaking into rivers and streams. Again, this is according to the Union of Concerned Scientists. NASA was planning to fly one of its hypersensitive planes over Houston to detect whether the air was safe. But according to emails obtained by the LA Times, the EPA said no thanks, which puzzled the NASA scientists. I'm assuming it's because of things like this. The House has actually passed out of committee the Scientific Integrity Act. It makes it illegal to distort or suppress scientific research. Six Republicans joined the 19 Democrats who voted it out of committee. But you testified before that committee in favor, obviously. And, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, we know that there are people who do not believe in science making policy. They might have been in that room. Did you feel that?
Well, I think that Republicans and Democrats both believe in science. They both benefit greatly from the use of science in policymaking. And so I think there is a growing appetite and understanding that you don't want politicians to get in the way of scientists to be able to share their research with the public. I hear this coming from all kinds of different advocates and all kinds of different policymakers. And so science policy is sexy right now, and we're going to try to do our best to make sure that that enthusiasm doesn't wane.
Science policy is sexy, one would hope. Michael Halpern, Deputy Director of the Center for Science and Democracy at the Union of Concerned Scientists, thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
And we reached out to the EPA for comment. Spokesman Michael Abu disputed many of the Union of Concerned Scientists' claims and said the EPA will continue to use the best available science, regardless of the claims of a few federal employees. His full statement, plus all of our stories and your comments at hereandnow.org.